Matthew 28. So look at this. He says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this camp meeting. We're grateful for Thursday evening night session. We're grateful for Friday sessions, Saturday sessions, and this morning session. We thank you because what you have begun in us, you are able to fulfill it. You are able to bring it to completion. This morning in your word, you will give us a charge. You will help us in our hearts to be instructed. You will help us to see ourselves in that assignment, that mission which has preceded us, which is your walking in our days, which will also you will continue to walk even after our days. You help us by your word this morning to identify with your mission. We ask that this morning with unveiled eyes and heart, the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. We will see you. We will see ourselves in you. Your name will be glorified in our walk as a result of that. And this morning, everyone will be edified. We ask and we receive this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So look at this. We said this is the authority of Genesis. Authority to fulfill the mission in Genesis. We saw that mission, Genesis chapter 12. It was a mission of God on the earth to reclaim the nations. Hallelujah. To bring the nations to himself, to restore, to heal. Hallelujah. The nations of the world. Amen. In Genesis chapter 28, we saw God repeat the same word to Jacob, one of the sons of Abraham. Are we together? Or Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 28, he says in verse 12, Genesis 28, glory be to God forevermore. In verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on earth. He says, and the top reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God are ascending and descending on him. And behold, the Lord stood above him and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. He says, thy father, the God of Isaac, the God of Isaac. Now, he didn't say the God of Jacob, because he's talking about Jacob. Are we together? He's talking to Jacob. So he says, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Are we together? And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad the west, he says, and to the east, to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So he brings to Abraham's grandson the same promise he gave to Abraham. Are we together? Yet he tells him about a seed. And he says, the promise will be the promise of a land. So he said, God's word to Abraham is that God is going to reclaim the nations of the earth. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Indeed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. The word family there is the word mishpacha. It's spelled mishpachaha. It's used for kindreds. It's used for races. It's used for tribes. He's used for people. So Jesus gets up from the dead, and then he says, go and preach the gospel to every nation, fulfilling the Abraham mandate. Are we together? Preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of every nation. So God said that promise will be fulfilled in your seed. If you observe what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, hallelujah, and then in verse 23, 1 Peter 1, Peter comes back. Are we together? In 1 Peter 1:23. Glory, 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 glory. I said glory, 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 glory. 1 Peter 1:23. He says, being born again. Hallelujah. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abide forever. Where does Peter get the word born again? Two places. Number one, he must have picked that phrase from the Old Testament, but he is also a disciple of Jesus. We found Jesus using that phrase firstly. So in John's Gospel, Jesus explains the concept of being born again. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art the teacher, it is from God, come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, except the man be born again." Someone say, "Born again." It says, "He cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit." Now, I told you severally that he's not talking about water baptism. Amen. Water there is used as illustrative. Notice what? Why did he have to use illustration now? The man said, "How can?" Are we together? Difficult to understand. Are we together? So he comes with illustration. Are we together? Except a man be born of water. So in Nicodemus' mind, when he hears born of water, he's thinking of newness. Because that is what water gives. Water is for newness. Are we together? It's also for newness. That which washes. Amen. Amen. So he says, "Verily I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, cannot tell where it cometh, where it goeth." He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Later on, he explains being born of the Spirit in verse 14. As Moses says, "Lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world," he says, "but the world might be saved through him. He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is already condemned," hallelujah, "because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hallelujah. So Jesus explains that of seeing the kingdom, he calls it entering into the kingdom. Hallelujah. He explains the concept of entering into the kingdom as believing in his name. Are we together? He calls it being born again. Hallelujah. Now Jesus or John, amen, are both teachers or writers from the Old Testament books at the same time. That means the concept of being born again will be found in the Old Testament books. I'm not saying Old Testament people were born again. Is it clear? But I said the concept. Amen. Even though it were. Hallelujah. But that's not where I'm going. Amen. So even though the concept. Hallelujah. There's a story. The concept of being born again, you will already find it in the Old Testament. Are we together? Born again. Jesus calls being born again as being born after the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit. Being born after the Spirit. Are we together? In John 1, John had said, "Not born of the flesh." Not born of the of blood, rather. Or of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. But of God. So being born again. Being born of the Spirit. He says, not born. John 1 verse 13. Of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. Are we together? That means there is a birth that is of blood. Is it clear? Natural birth. That means there is a birth that is of the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh in that text speaks of parental purpose behind birth. That means everyone that gives birth to a child, according to the scriptures, I don't know about you, are we together? He's teaching from the scriptures. He's saying that the birth, the natural birth that we see in the scriptures, always have an expectation around it. You already find out from Genesis that many times when they give birth to a child, they give it a name that is around God's intervention. Are we together? Either they had a vision and then they named the child because of the vision, or there's an instruction that came, are we together, that now led to the naming of the child. For example, the moment God gave that woman the promise and said, I will bruise the serpent with the seed of the woman, the next thing that came from Eve was Cain. If you observe very well, she now named Cain. She said, I have received a man from the Lord, thinking that Cain was the one who would bruise the head of the serpent. But by the time Cain killed Abel, it became clear to her. Are we together? Now Abel too had died. Then Seth came. Are we together? Then they renamed Seth after the intervention. So that was why genealogy was mentioned. When you hear names like Methuselah, are we together? You hear names like Noah. You hear names like Enoch. They were naming their children as a result of the knowledge of God's intervention that they were expecting. Are we together? So John is writing from that text. John is saying, every natural birth oftentimes has a purpose around it. There is something the parent is expecting. Did you observe we have that similar culture in our traditions today? We will name a child something that we want. Are we together? Are we together? But in those olden days, it was so strong. So he says, when a woman or a parent gives birth to a child, there is something the parent is expecting. Are we together? Sometimes you see someone, a parent had given birth to several children. Like if someone gives birth to like, what's several now? Let me keep quiet. Are we together? Someone say, what's pastor saying? Hallelujah. Let me keep quiet. But I've seen some people, they keep on betting. He said, we are looking for a male child. Have you seen something like that? The first one, girl. The second one, girl. And then the next one, and then the guy said, what's happening? He said, I want a male son until they are 50. And then lastly, a male child now what? Comes. They now name him something. Are we together? They now name him something. You know now what? The parent has an expectation in mind. What were they looking for a male child? There's a desire in the heart that they feel a male child. Are we together? Are we together? Will fulfill. Even though that's rubbish. Are we together? The male child, the girl child, you are thinking that way because you don't yet know male and female. You don't know the scriptural purpose behind gender. That's why you are thinking one is inferior to the other. Is it clear? Is it clear? Have these some men that say, the best I will do is that you will do BSc. After BSc, you're on your own. But the boy child, you see, I was born some masters, I was born some PhD. You are not a serious person. Are we together? You are not a serious person. Are we together? You see, so physical births have a purpose of the parents behind it. That's what John is saying. So John is saying that this birth that we call being born of God, if you look at the background, he says, as many as believed in his name, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So he's explaining that birth. So he says, not born of blood, not born of the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh talks about natural purpose behind the birth. A wealthy person probably wants to give birth to a child so that the child can inherit the substances. Are we together? Just like you see with Abraham and Isaac. He said, is it this Eliezer that will inherit my things? Are we together? He said, you have not given me a child. So the natural birth many times has the purpose of the parents behind it. Sometimes a parent gives birth to a child and say, the reason why I'm born is so that I can have, I just want to have, a family or a friend to play with and things like that. Some other parents will even feel like, the children that God has given me, the things I could not achieve, I want them to achieve. And that's not bad. Are we together? Until they begin to force something on the child, like a profession. Now that is haywire. Is it clear? Is it clear? So John is saying that there is a purpose behind the natural birth. But this birth that is of God, he says, is not birth according to the will of the what? Of the flesh. That means there's a purpose behind this new birth. But it is not the purpose of a man. Read that text. He says, which were born, verse 13, John 1, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That means this new birth is according to the purposes of God. Is it clear, church? So if Jesus says in John 3, born again, born of the Spirit, it means born according to the purpose of the Spirit. That shows you that salvation in Christ has the purpose of God behind it. Is it clear? Just like natural birth has a purpose behind it, which many times is in the heart of the parent, the one that births. In the same way, when God births, just like He birthed Israel, He has a purpose behind it. That birth is synonym or symbolic rather, illustrative of the new birth in Christ. He's saying, you are born again for a purpose. And that purpose is the purposes of God. Is it clear? So in teaching this, they use the word seed. So Peter will say in 1 Peter 1, which we read, he says, 1 Peter 1, 23, being born again, it is not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, hallelujah, but of incorruptible, he says, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So what does it mean to be born of the word? To be born of the word means to be born after the word. What is the word of God? The plan of God. What is God's plan? Abraham's vision. Is it clear? So born again is born after that Abraham mission. Born again is born after that mission to set the world in order. Born of the word. Born of the word means born after the word. What is the word? The mission of God on the earth. Are we together? What is the word? The plan of God on the earth. It's the word logos, which means thought, intention, plan. So born of the word means born after the plan of God. Born of the word, born again, born of the word means born after the intentions of God. See, I'm born after God's intentions. So Peter says, the believer is born of the word. He says the believer is born again. He says the believer is born after God's intention. Are we together? So my purpose are the intentions of God on the earth. That is the reason for salvation. God didn't get you saved to add you to the statistics of how many people He saved on the earth. He got you saved for a mission. For a mission. So Peter uses the word seed. He says the believer is born of the seed. The word seed is the word zera in the Hebrew. It's used for continuity and preservation of a plan. The first time we saw Genesis 1:11, I showed us yesterday. He says, a seed, every herb having a seed which can yield after its kind. So seed is for the purpose of yielding after your kind. So if he uses that word for Abraham, he's already telling Abraham that even though you might grow old and die, I will continue my plan with those that come from you. So seed is used for continuity. So seed is used for preservation of a plan. I'll give you one more. Seed is also used for the multiplicity of a plan. Because the seed we saw in Genesis is that the whole earth is now covered with that seed. Are we together? So God is going to do a work in the earth that the whole earth will be covered in with the same seed. So that word seed is to describe the plan of God preserved, the plan of God multiplied, the plan of God continued through the ages. The apostles now found the word to describe you. They call us the seed of Abraham. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, a text I showed us already. He says in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And then in verse 16. Again we see the word seed there. He says, verse 11. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on the tree. 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the what? The Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. Did you see that? He traces us to Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham again? All the earth. Are we together? Being brought into him. He says it will be through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, that promise is fulfilled today by the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. If you hold your hands there, you go to 2 Corinthians 1. And then in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 1, 17. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, he says, when I therefore was minded, did I use lightness or the things that I proposed, that I proposed according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Why did he say promises of God? Did God make several promises? No. But God made a single promise in several instances. Is it clear? So the promises of God in verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Say, the Spirit of God in my heart. That is the fulfillment of the word of God to Abraham. So how will God make all the nations his own? By giving men his Spirit. Everyone who has the Spirit is a member of that family, wherever they are. Did you see that? So you observe that the land given to Abraham will not be a physical region, but the whole earth. Because now everyone everywhere can have the Spirit. Glory to God forevermore. So he says in verse 14, Galatians 3, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereto. 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. Can we read the next verse together? He feared not, the next statement rather, he feared not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is who? Christ. Glory to God. Now look at 17. And these I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So look at this. Whose promise was first? Whose covenant was first? The giving of the law or the promise of Christ? Was it the law that came first in God's dealings or God's promise in Christ? Are we together? Because God had promised Abraham before Moses came and then the law came. Are we together? So whatever Christ is fulfilling now preceded the law. That is what Paul was arguing in verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave to Abraham by promise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he calls the seed of Abraham, he calls it Christ. Now look at something. He goes further in verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Can we take 28 together, everyone? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. So Paul locates the believer today in the promise to Abraham. That means God will continue his mission through you and I. Hallelujah. God will continue his mission through you and I. He will continue his work of reclaiming the nations through you and her. Hallelujah forevermore. So Jesus was called the seed of Abraham. That means God will continue to fulfill his plan through him. And he says, since you are in Christ, you are put on Christ, you are also the seed of Abraham.
to fulfill that mission. Which mission again? Replenishing the earth.
Are we together? Look at Genesis 1:26. Glory to God forevermore. Genesis 1:26. He says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Hallelujah. He says, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Wait. If you read 26, let us make man. And then you read 27, so God created man. It looks as though Adam was created in God's image. Huh? No. What Moses is describing is an intention, and that it will finally be fulfilled. Moses both mentioned the intention of God and taught his audience that that intention gained fulfillment. Are we together? So he wasn't saying the Adam we saw immediately was the image of God, but he said whatsoever God had wanted to do in 26, God fulfilled. Are we together? So 27 is the fulfillment of what? 26. Are we together? Intention and fulfillment. Now observe the man that will be found in God's image. He says male and what? Female. So what is the mandate? We have seen in Genesis 2 rather, when he says to dress and to keep, to dress and to keep the garden. In 28, it got clearer. He said unto them, be fruitful. That means fruitfulness is God's plan. Hallelujah. He says multiply. God wants us to multiply. Are we together? He says subdue, have dominion. Are we together? What is man going to subdue? Don't forget, he has spoken to us about the head of the serpent, right? So what is man going to subdue? He goes into chapter 2, he goes into chapter 3 to explain what man was going to subdue. In other words, hey guys, there's an influence on the earth that God wants us to eradicate. There's an influence on the earth that God wants his dominion, his influence, to eradicate, and that influence is going to be through man. So he brings in the narrative of the serpent. In chapter 3 verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, more subtle. Then he says, and he said unto the woman. So the subtlety of the serpent were in his words. Words of the serpent. Are we together? Now we know, I told us already, that serpents don't speak to humans in human language. So Moses is therefore speaking in a parable form, are we together, to explain a supernatural influence, but that is communicated via words. His focus is not on a serpent, a physical serpent. His focus was an influence that comes through knowledge. Influence that comes through knowledge. Are we together? What did the serpent say? What kind of influence is it? It comes through words. But what kind of influence is it? What did the serpent say? And the serpent said unto the woman in verse 4, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant. So look at this. The words came and corrupted her judgment. The words came and corrupted her perception. Amen. The word came to oppose what God said to man. Influences that comes through knowledge, information. In our world today, social media, associations, blogs, whatever.
that seeks to oppose what God is saying in his word is the serpent speaking.
Are we together, church?
God wants us to infiltrate the world with his own counsel by putting his word out there. That is why he will call the nations, just like Abraham, to function as his prophets. We said that yesterday. He declared. That means there are influences around us. Amen? And look at this. When you see influences, that means there are also influencers. But God's word is saying that God wants you to be an influencer. But what kind of influencer? It will not be like those useless ones on social media. Are we together? Are we together? No direction. Everything. Are we together? Photo ops. No direction. No clarity. No direction. Nothing useful in the plans of God. No. The influence that you and I are going to wield will be the influence of God's word. So how do we become influencers for God? Go you into all the nations and make disciples. Did you get it? So that is where our mission as a church comes in. Through discipleship, we are able to wield God's influence by teaching, by training. Are we together? That is why he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He goes back to Genesis in the garden. He says to Adam, you did not heed what I told you to do. So Jesus comes back. He says, you, in discipling the nations, teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Where Adam failed, ensure others pass. That is your assignment. Ezekiel church. Ezekiel church. So as we go in our natural lives, different professions and different stages of life, different status, young, old, adults, male, female, gender, wealthy, not yet wealthy, wealthy again, not wealthy again, wealthy again. Those are different phases. Are we together? Married, it starts from unmarried, right? Then it becomes what? Married. After you are unmarried, for diverse reasons. Those are the issues on the earth. But no matter what it is, your stage of life, whatever it is, your situation in life, whatever it is, your career, your status, your material status, students, graduates, or it starts from non-students, then students, then non-students again. Are we together? It starts from not employed, then employed, then not employed again because you retire. Can you see how life is? It says through the phases of life, you will influence your world. It does not matter what your profession is. You have an assignment because of a birth that is not according to the flesh. That means my assignment on the earth is greater than the purposes that was on my parents' mind when they gave birth. When you come into salvation, you have come in contact with a purpose that is stronger than that of the parent. Are we together? I tell someone, I said, because, you know, we're talking about the work of ministry and then, you know, preaching, making disciples. And then the fellow said, my mom had said, I have to do this. And I don't teach against, you know, obey your parents. Even though I say that many times in a bid to obey your parents or honor your parents, you mustn't dishonor God. Are we together? You mustn't dishonor God. I say that a lot. So you know, there is a purpose in the mind of the parent, but there is a purpose in the mind of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It needs not be contradictory. It shouldn't be contradictory. But many times, when both are at loggerheads, I must allow the plan of God to prevail. It's a clear church. So the serpent comes to oppose what God has said. And he does that with Jesus also. After the 40 days fasting, don't forget, the first temptation was meddled upon the utterance that was just made in the previous verse. The first statement Satan made,
is that if you were the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, do this.
Are we together?
That was the same statement that we saw in Matthew 3, just before Matthew 4. When he came out of the water, this is my beloved Son. So he always comes to test you. Satan will come to check you. He will come to affect you in order to oppose what God has said. That is why you must be aware that immediately after this conference, the moment we say meeting is closed, Satan will visit you. He does all the time. You will not see him, but you will see influences that seeks to lure you from what you have been receiving since Thursday. Situations, people, friends. That's what I always say. People that did not follow you into this camp meeting have not had what you had. Is it clear? So you are smart. When you get back into those interactions, you don't let go. Are we together? You don't let go what you have learned. You act on it. Glory to God forevermore. That is the voice of the serpent. If you observe in the same Genesis chapter 3, and then in verse 5, down to verse 14, 16, 17, Moses, or Adam, literally said that the serpent beguiled me. The serpent beguiled me. Serpent beguiled me. That is Eve, rather. She said the serpent beguiled me. Which means the work of the serpent on the earth today is deception. Deception. Deception in order to lure men away from God's plans and purposes. Beguile refers to deception. Deception. In Genesis chapter 49 and then in verse 17, we find Moses talking about the serpent, and he referred to one of the sons of Jacob. Genesis 47 and then 49 in 17. Praise God. Genesis 49:17. He says, verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. 17, Dan shall be a serpent. So a serpent is used figuratively. We know Dan was a human being. Are we together? One of the sons of Jacob. So he says, Dan shall be a serpent. But look at it. He says, by the way, an adder in the path. So when serpent is mentioned, the influence is always mentioned. Look at the next thing it says. That bited the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards. So serpent is used as an idiomatic expression for Dan, are we together? To describe his activity. He says he bites the heels of the horses so that the rider falls backwards. That word adder, are we together? Is used for that which twists. Deception. That means you might not see it coming, except your heart is full of the word. If your heart is not filled with the word, you will not know deception. That's why I usually say that the greatest antidote against deception is to be full of the word day and night. Day and night. Glory to God. That which twists is used for an asp. An asp. In Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And then in verse 33. Deuteronomy 32, 33. Praise God forevermore. Deuteronomy 32 and 33. He says, their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. That word asps is the same as serpent. In Psalm 58, was used again. So you see, it's used metaphorically. How will you call wine a venom of asp? It's using the venom of asp to describe the effect of the wine. It's a metaphoric use of word. In Psalms chapter 58 and verse 4. Psalm 58 verse 4. Psalm 58 verse 4. He says,
Their poison is like the poison of a serpent, and are like, they are like the death adder that stopped our ear. In Psalm 91, again is used, that which is poisonous. That which is poisonous. Psalm 91, and then in verse 13. It is in verse 13. It says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Again, they are used metaphorically to describe demonic activities. He says you will have authority over them. Don't forget, demonic activities here has to do with deception. Look at this. Deception on the earth is demonic. You can call it wokeism. You can call it Gen Zism. You can call it anything. It is demonic. It is demonic. The Bible is making us see, from Moses in Genesis, is making us see there are supernatural beings on the earth that teaches men even when men don't know them. Are we together? There are supernatural beings on the earth that influence knowledge. How you will know those supernatural beings is that that knowledge will have an effect on humanity. A woman just gets up and comes on Facebook with an account and opens a blog and begins to teach married women about marriage. Are we together? That could just be that same serpent. And when you are not full of the word, you begin to learn a marital life, a home, from that blog, you are in trouble. Are we together? Many times, go and check the house of that same woman. Check her family. Check her home. Are we together? Just because you have phone and you have data. So the believer in 2025 must be full of the word. Are we together? The sources of God's wisdom is not a blog. The sources of God's wisdom is your pastor. He is the word of God. He is your discipler. That's why we say every believer, get into the churches and be planted there. There are two major institutions on the earth that God works with since Genesis. Two major institutions. The moment those institutions are affected, God's plan is oftentimes stifled, affected. Those institutions, number one is the family. The family is God's institution. That is why you observe in every generation, there is a greater onslaught against families. Satan wants to ruin homes. Sometimes even before the home starts, he has started ruining it. He leads the woman away in all fleshly acts to ruin her body, to ruin her mind. He takes the man to womanize, do all sorts of things. He is ruining the home before the home starts. Are we together? He knows exactly what he's doing. Are we there? That's why purity helps you. Are we there? And he helps the work of God. He ruins the home even before the home starts. There is all sorts of vices. All sorts of vices. In fact, study shows it that there has never been, the rate of divorce has never been as high in human history as it is currently. That is the serpent. Is it clear? And you will not see it. You will not hear. You will not see a serpent. But you will see the influence. Are we there? Then the second institution is the church. You also observe that after the family, the next institution that suffers the onslaught of Satan is the church. He wants to ruin your trust in the home and in the churches, because those are the two institutions that God uses on the earth. Are we together? That's why I don't join people to badmouth families. As a Christian, your primary duty towards families is to protect them. Don't be a reason why a family was ruined. You are working for the Sabbath. I just want to tell him the truth. No! Are we together? A married spouse must labor to keep the marriage. Is it clear? The man laboring to keep the marriage.
The woman laboring to keep the marriage in godly fear and reverence. The home is God's institution. I also don't join them when I observe people speaking against churches. No! You are working for the serpent. Are we together, church? Someone said God has called him one dysfunctional blogger. He says God has called him to be showing the bad things that are happening in the churches. You don't have a ministry. Satan called you. See, God already knows those things are there. If God did not send his son to condemn the world, he did not send you to reveal things. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? It's not a ministry. It's not a ministry. Your work as a Christian is therefore to strengthen churches. And those are the two things I will close with this year. This meeting. That throughout this year, ensure you work in those areas. Strengthening the church. Strengthening the family. Are we together? You observe in Genesis, God is described as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means God works with families. God works with families. God does his work through families. It's in the family that the child is taught, basically, what is right and wrong. The foundational judgment system, perception of a child is from the family. Are we there? Are we there? And look at this. What powers the family is the church. So the church powers the family, ensures the family is strong, because the members of the family are planted in the church. Then God is able to distribute his influence through the family. So God works with the family. God works in human lives using the family. God strengthens the family using the church. You must make up your mind to strengthen those two institutions. Is it clear? Is it clear? So look at this. That is the work of the serpent. The work of the serpent is to ruin, to destroy. It is used figuratively for what is venomous and poisonous. Words that are destructive. Words that are condemnative. Words that are mockery in nature. Evil words, wicked words. Words that make the hearers to stumble. That is what the serpent stands for. So in Genesis, he made man to stumble. So any teaching, doctrine, emphasis, opinion, quotes, you know, I quote a lot, quotes, blog, groups that makes people to stumble in God's plan, that is the serpent. Because you will not see it. Sometimes you don't even know a snake has beaten you. Are we together? You just feel, what's that? Until the venom spreads, then it's too late. Are we together? So sometimes you don't know thought has dropped into your mind. Because there's nothing happening in your life at that time that requires the action upon that thought. You don't know. Until later on, when you find yourself in a situation where a decision needs to be made, then that wisdom comes out. And it is not of God. So whatsoever you don't want in your life, don't hang around it. They are seeds of the serpent. It makes to stumble against God's plan. So you see what he now told man to do. Let him have dominion. So dominion over the fish of the sea. Dominion over the fowl of the air. Dominion over the beast of the field. Dominion over the fish of the sea. Under the earth is simply referring to dominating the influence of the enemy. According to Genesis, you will observe, man was never given a dominion over another man. So man dominating man is not God's plan. Are we there? Man was to dominate the creatures on the earth, in heaven, supernatural realm, under what? The earth.
under the earth was used by the New Testament writers to discuss hell. Hell, the place of influence of the enemy. Is it clear? Now, hell does not mean it is under the earth. Is it clear? It's just symbolic. Are we together? It's just symbolic. Don't worry, we'll have time to teach more in the year. Glory to God forevermore. So God tells man as a close. He says, multiply, be fruitful, subdue, replenish the earth. God's image. Replenish the earth means replace what is there with what ought to be there. Are we together? Subdue means to eradicate an influence and bring in God's influence there. Say, my presence is God's influence. Hallelujah. Then he says, multiply. Multiply. So this is God's mandate to us. How do we multiply? Jesus comes in Matthew 28. I close with that text. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and multiply. Make disciples. Who was he talking to? Disciples. So if he tells disciples to make disciples of every nation, can we call that multiply? He tells them to multiply. So discipleship is how we multiply. What does it mean to disciple? It means to train people, to make people to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to make people to develop in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Are we together? He says, make disciples of all nations. Glory to God forevermore. Make disciples of every nation. Every nation, the word nation is the word ethnos. It means different categories of human beings. Ethnos is where we have the word ethnicity. Are we together? All races of people. Poor, wealthy, old, young, male, female. Are we together? Married or married? Are we together? What else? Black, white, red, pink, blue. He says to make disciples. Glory to God forevermore. So God wants me to focus my life on discipleship. The giving and the receiving of it. If Jesus rises from the dead and he gives a 40-day teaching, and Matthew summarizes a 40-day teaching and calls it go make disciples, that means that was all he stood for. That means that is what he will judge on the last day. That means that is what he empowered you for. So if he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, a text that we started Saturday morning with, or Friday morning with, are we together? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. What is the end of the earth? That is the question. Habakkuk 2 verse 14 explains the end of the earth. He says the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. Numbers 14 in 21, he says, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with my word, with my glory. That is the end of the earth. I told you, the end of the earth is not a period where everything is spoiled. End of the earth means the arrival point of this earth. Don't forget, earth in scripture will mean what? Humanity. So God is showing us that the end point of his mission amongst men is that humanity will be filled with his glory. There's going to be a time where everyone on the earth will be born again. Hallelujah. That is God speaking. And look at this. He calls that our mandate. So what do? I give myself to this plan. I give myself to this mandate of heaven and earth. How? as I go about preaching the gospel. Mark 16 puts it in 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means every believer. Don't forget, we are born of God. Born of God means born for the plans of God, born for the purpose of God. Every Christian is therefore a preacher. Every Christian is a preacher. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Hallelujah. All things are of God. Hallelujah. It says all these things are of God. Talking about the man. Look at that text quickly. 2 Corinthians 5, and then in verse 17. I'll start from verse 14, so we'll see the context. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I want the whole church, the whole assembly, to read together. 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 14. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. Now let's be together. I want to go. For the love of Christ consumed us, because with us church, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Say, I don't live unto myself. Say, I don't live unto myself. Let's read on. He says, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 16. Wherefore, as for knowing no man after the flesh yet, though we have known Christ after the flesh yet, for as for he says, know him no more. 17. Therefore, if any man in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and has given unto us. So, as many as have been reconciled have the ministry. So I usually say this: the church is not the assembly of the called and uncalled. The church is only an assembly of the obedient and disobedient, because all are called. So if all are not preaching, the non-preaching is disobedient. Are we together, church? All. Now everyone, look at verse 19 together. 1, 2, go. To wit, that God was in, let's wait together, I want to go, to we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do I have the message? So as many as have been saved by the gospel is called by the gospel to preach the gospel. See, I'm a preacher. That is who you are. Look at the next thing he says in 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech by us, we pray in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled unto God. Can we take 21 together? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made. God's method of setting things right. The righteousness of God. God's means of setting things right. Hallelujah. So the new birth which I have received, just like Israel, was saved towards self by distributing the knowledge of God in every place. You are also saved today. Are we together? To do what? To serve. So every Christian is a servant of God. How do we learn service? How do we grow in service? How do we fulfill this service? How do we keep and dress the garden? How do we expand Eden until the whole land, which is filled with ravenous beasts? Are we together? The venom of a serpent. Until the whole land, which is filled with chaos. Notice when he got out of the garden, Moses now showed us that he was found amidst thorns. Are we together? So thorns is outside the garden. But God wants the garden to fill the whole earth. How do we do that? Through discipleship. As we engage in the work of discipleship, which is by being planted in the local assembly and being useful there, being a member of a local assembly and being useful there, being useful not for the enemy, but being useful for God. Are we together, church? Being useful for God. Someone says, and I agree, that Satan doesn't only send people into the church alone just to say contrary things in the church. Satan also sends people into churches to not do anything. Because by not doing anything, you are not serving God's purpose. Are we together? So sent by Satan is not only the fellow who is doing contrary things in the church. Sent by Satan is also the one who comes to sit down and does nothing. Are we together, church? Say, I do something. So as we leave this conference, we'll go back into our churches, into ourselves. Are we together? To do something. Tell your neighbor, say, do something. What are we to do? To strengthen the church. Paul calls the work of a ministry in 1 Corinthians 3. He calls it building the church. Ephesians 4, he calls it building the church. In Matthew 16, Jesus talks about building the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, he says prophecy builds the church. So both the people, personalities, and the gifts in the church are to build the church. Are you building the church? Glory to God. That's the question to you. God wants you and I to build the church. Are we there? We are saved to serve. The Genesis 1:26 mandate is not a mandate to make money, even though we should make money. That's nice. The Genesis 1:26 mandate, he says, oh, we must be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Some people have even used this for natural birth. We are burning and burning and burning and burning. We have not filled the earth. Because I told you, when you look at the text and you apply it wrongly, you will not see perfection there. You will see the fulfillment there. Replenish the earth is a statement of ministry. Ministry to fill the earth with disciples. All over the city of Ilorin. All over our cell communities. Ogbomoso, Ibadan. Are we together? Lagos. Outside the country. God wants us to multiply disciples. Are we together? So a disciple of Christ, that is who you are. You are a disciple. A disciple is a light. Light means direction. People learn what to do from you. In your workplaces, you are the light there. In your campus, you are the light there. Are we together? When we see how you are living, that is the way a student on campus should live. Amen? In the natural, in the spiritual, light means direction. Light means instruction. That means when we look at you, we see what we should do. In 1 Timothy 4, he told Timothy, he says, be thou an example of the believer. Hallelujah. Having said, let no man despise thy youth. He says, but be thou an example of a believer in conversation. He says, in love, in charity, in spirit. Are we together? In purity. Are we together? So he's not talking about money. Genesis 1:26 mandate. He's not talking about having a big business. Genesis 1:26 mandate. He's not talking about building the largest company. No. Even though that is not bad. It is a mission rather to save and restore the world to God through the preaching and teaching of the gospel and by the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. So the believer is saved to serve. Exactly, church. The believer is saved to serve. Exactly, church. So four things to work on after this conference. Number one, I must work on my choice of a local assembly. Hear this. No Christian is stronger than the kind of church they attend. No Christian. No Christian is stronger than the kind of assemblies that they have found. I told you two institutions. Are we together? And one of them is church. No Christian's work makes more sense than the orientation
and the seriousness of the local assembly that they attend. Today we have all kinds of churches, different kinds. I didn't say different names. I didn't say different denominations. Are we together? I said different kinds. You have churches with diverse, strange orientations. I saw one some days ago. He said, "What do you do here?" I said, "Actually, God has called us. It is God has called us." He says, "You know, church for us is not like it is in many places." So I was interested. He said, "Church for us is not, you know, it's not like." I didn't know that he was defending himself before time, because he knew who person was talking to. He said, "Church for us is not really like it is in many places, you know. Here, you know, we just want, you know, Christians to belong. Christians to belong. That is not a church. That is a club. You can have a club under the umbrella of the name of Jesus. He is not there. Are we together? Are we together? God is not there. Amen. Where you have an assembly where you just want people to be comfortable. Don't say, we don't really correct people here. You know, when you correct people too much, you know, they will run away. Jesus says, make them disciples. Do you run away from medical school because they corrected you in an assignment that you failed? Are we together? Because you have a goal to be a doctor, you will even appreciate the correction. Are we together? In the local assembly, we correct people. We correct. Now, we don't start out correcting. We teach. We feed. Those who have been fed, are we together? Long enough for their activity to have changed, we then correct. Is it clear, church? In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews spoke about your growth process. He says, if at the time where you ought to be teachers, you are now one that needs to be taught the elementary things. Are we together? He says, you're not growing. You're not growing. That means growth in my walk with God is that after a while, I become the one teaching the world. I become the one teaching the world. Are we there? I become the one teaching the world. That means church is where I learn the faith. I learn the things of the Spirit. I learn how to flow in the things of the Spirit. How to flow in the things of the Spirit. Corporately and also in my private life. I know how to discern the leading of the Spirit. That is what he taught you, what he's taught you in church. You know how to also minister the things of the Spirit. After a while being in church, you can get people filled with the Holy Ghost. You can pray with them and they will start talking in tongues. You can teach them on how to flow with the things of God. Are we together? Are we together? Just like when you are in medical school, a year 4 medical student should be better inclined in medical knowledge than a year 1. Are we together? If we induct a doctor, we have an induction into the medical profession at the end of the 6th year. That person is expected to be better, are we there, than the fellow who is in the preclinicals. So in the same way, I ought to make progress in the time I spend in the church. So a disciple of 2 years ought to be much more functional in the plans and purposes of God than the one we just got saved yesterday. After a while of you being in church, we should be able to hand over a new believer to you and say, teach him and train him. Are we together? Are we together? We should be able to hand over a new Christian to you and say, train this fellow to pray and to evangelize and to have their devotion and to get better in their walk with God. And then you pick the person up, and after some weeks, we like what we are seeing in the person's life. Are we together? Are we together? That is progress. That is what it means to multiply. It means one will become two. If I start the church alone in the year, that means sometime before the middle of the year, I now have a disciple. I've become two. That is what it means to multiply. That means you join the church by February, by January, by December. You join the church. By March, April, May, you already have a couple of disciples. People that are growing in the Lord because you are responsible. That is what to multiply. That's what it means to do what? To multiply.
So I must work on my choice of local assembly. Get the right church and be committed there. Get the right church and be committed there. Not the place where you are entertained. Not the place where you are condoned. Not the place where you are, it's all fun. It's all fun. A place where you're not really engaged. I just want to belong. I just want to belong. No. See, your ears is not called a member of your body because it just wants to belong. It is a member because your system hears to it. Is it clear? Yes, it takes nourishment from your body. But your system also hears to it. So by its function, you can escape from accidents. Are we together? Because you can hear the horn. The car is honing. Say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I straight into the road. Are we there? It also preserves your entire life. Because you are able to assimilate information about things that will hurt you as they are being told you. Is it clear? So your brain uses your ears. Your mind needs your ears. So a member of a church is somebody that is functioning in the church. Your eyes is called a member of your body because your body sees through it. Are we together? Look at this. That means my church will pray through me. Hallelujah. Are we together? My church will reach my community through me. That is what it means to be a member of a church. You are committed to the vision of Jesus in that local assembly. Are we together? You strengthen that local assembly. You help to build that local assembly. You walk in love in that local assembly. You walk in honor in that local assembly. You are not rude in that local assembly. Are we together? You are not selfish. I do say this about the local church, which I learned, that there are two things the local church will take away from you. The local assembly will take away pride from you and will take away selfishness from you. How does the local assembly help us to rid pride? Because you find out that you are now serving in the church. You are now serving God in the church. And serving God is actually serving the people in the church. Are we together? That way, he rids pride away from you. How does he rid you of selfishness? He rids you of selfishness because you now observe that you are no more doing things with yourself as the center focus. Things are now being done for the sake of others. And as you are doing it for the sake of others, you are doing it unto the Lord. Jesus meets that man Saul. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? As far as Saul was concerned, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the church. But in that vision, Saul was taught by the Lord Jesus a very powerful lesson that will now remain his central message throughout his life. That whatsoever you do to the brethren, you've done it to Jesus. Are we together, church? So he says, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Is it clear, church? So the local assembly will rid you of selfishness and rid you of pride. That is why you observe that Christians that are not committed to churches are usually proud and selfish. Always proud and selfish. Because the wisdom of God to take you away, to take selfishness away from you and pride from your heart is the local church. Are we together, church? Number two, I therefore must also work on is your prayer life. Your prayer life. Jesus wants to pray through you. Your prayer life. A disciple of Christ is found in the local assembly building the church of Christ, contributing there. Part of that contribution is your prayer life. My prayer life must become useful to God. Many times our prayer life is bothered around the things that pertains to us alone. But no, I told us in our workers' meeting some months ago that prayer is actually a tool designed by God for His purpose, not for you. Prayer is not meant to serve you. Prayer was designed of God to serve God's purpose on the earth. And one of the things that prayer does is that prayer unveils what a man is full of. When a man is full of self, you will see it in his prayer life. But when a man is full of the things of God, you will also see it in his prayer life.
God has designed prayer as a tool through which we can walk with Him to fulfill His purposes on the earth. That is why when He came in the flesh, Himself was found praying at all times. You must do something about your prayer life. Join the prayer meetings of your church. Ensure that your prayer life is useful to God for His purposes. Your prayer life becomes a channel to get men saved, to have believers strengthened. Your prayer life, Paul will say severally, pray for us. Your prayer life becomes a tool used by God to strengthen your pastors, to strengthen your leaders, to strengthen fellow members of the church, to strengthen fellow workers in the church. Your prayer life. And coming alongside with your prayer life is your devotional life. Ensure you work on it. Ensure you practice your morning devotion. The morning devotion acts as a period where you wash your soul. It's like washing the front glass of your car. You can see what is ahead to avoid it. When you don't have your morning devotion, you become vulnerable to the voice of the serpent. When it continues consistently, you become full of his seed. Are we together? You become full of his influences. The morning devotion is a period where you feed on the word of God. You meditate on the word of God. Then you pray in the Holy Ghost. You think upon the word. Then you pray in the Holy Ghost. You think upon the word. Then you pray in the Holy Ghost. You think upon the word. Then you pray in the Holy Ghost. Before daybreak. Before people start talking to you. Before the day's distraction starts setting in. Before you need to start making decisions in the day. Are we together? You pass your decision making faculty through the lens of God's word. Then you minister to the Lord. When you come out of that closet, you will be full of gratitude. God's opportunities will be clearer to you. You will know what to avoid. Your words, your speech, are we together? Will be inspired by the Holy Ghost. When you come into the corporate service, we will find you useful and sharpening amongst us. Because you take care of your personal closet. If you only pray publicly and you don't pray privately, Jesus calls you an hypocrite. If all you do is just join the services, but you don't go home and take the word of God into your private moments, Jesus calls you an hypocrite. The one who does in public what he has no private life for. See, that is not me. The third thing to work on, or four. The third is your study of the word. Do not handle the word of God with levity. The word of God is your light. The word of God is your sight. The word of God is your senses. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses spoke to Israel. He says, thou shalt not live. He says, by bread alone, but by every word, in verse 3, that comes, Deuteronomy 8:3, from the mouth of God. God wants us to live by his word. Hallelujah. God wants us to live by his word. The word of God is God's light. The word of God is God's wisdom. The word of God is God's counsel. When your heart is full of the word, you can see life God's way. When you see life God's way, you can live life God's way. Are we together? The word of God. Not the voice of the serpent. The word of God. Not the voices of the social media. The word of God. Not the voices of human experiences. The word of God. Are we together? Are we together? Someone say experience is the best teacher. I said no. The word of God is the best teacher. Is it clear? The word of God. I fill my heart with the word. I fill my heart with the word. In our church, we have a daily approach. Every day, a member of the church is listening to a teaching track. So after a year, you have listened to 365 tracks. Are we together? See, you observe one is struggling. You observe this one is not struggling. He is feeding on the word. He is feeding on the word. The word is meal. It brings strength. When you are well fed, you go far. It's as simple as that. Is it clear? That's why, you know, we used to have this old time nursery rhyme. We say, read your Bible, pray every day, right? Pray every day, Read your Bible, pray every day, if you follow me. Are we together? That was the song. Then later on we changed it to, if you want to grow. Are we there? As simple as it is, that is God's wisdom. Read your Bible, pray daily. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it well. Read large volumes of scriptures. Meditate on it. Listen to the teachings of God's word. Hallelujah. Your study life is needed by God. And lastly, commit yourself to evangelism and discipleship. Get into the church. Receive evangelism, are we together? And discipleship as your ministry. Receive it. Embrace it. I said some time ago that soul winners have a place in God's plan that other Christians don't enjoy. Because when you are involved in God's business on the earth, I've told you, God is not in the business of raising engineers, doctors, millionaires, philanthropists. No church has that assignment. God is in the business of raising ministers of the gospel. Strong disciples. Strong disciples. Are we together? So when you get busy in God's mission on the earth, you will see His hand in your life in a different measure. Hallelujah. If you observe that there's something in your life you are trying to overcome, pay attention to these four things. Especially habits. Habits. You know, sometimes people come to me to lay hands on them or pray for them because of an habit. Are we together? Now it works. Is it clear? Is it clear? But look at this. What is minister to you by the laying on of hands is able to do a more effective work by what you do after the hands has been laid on you. Is it clear? Is it clear? Habits. Habits. That's why sometimes we tell people, when we minister healing to you, one of the commonsensical things to do is to not get back to what made you to come for healing. You know, that makes sense, right? Right? Someone is smoking. Smoking. Then develop the lung issues. Then you come to Jesus. And then Jesus heals you. Without even asking, how many packs did you smoke per day? Jesus doesn't have those questions. How many packs do you smoke by day? You do smoke on Sundays too? Imagine, I'm always here preaching on Sunday, you are in the corner smoking. He doesn't have those questions. He heals you. But look at this. If after being healed, you go back to go and smoke, the next one, the next lung issue, you might not be able to get to where Jesus is. Are we together? Are we together? Habits. That tells you something. Habits don't live. They rather get replaced by new habits. You want an habit to go, pick another one up. And commit to the new one that you pick up. You will watch the old one fall off. Is it clear, church? Habits. 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 Evangelism and discipleship. And coming alongside with that one, is it clear? You know, I said coming alongside with prayer. I said morning devotion. So coming alongside evangelism and discipleship is the supernatural family. A supernatural company. Keep a company of those who are also committed to evangelism and discipleship. Are we together? There's something about company that enables you to walk in God's plan. So throughout this year, pay attention to your local assembly and what you do there. Is it clear? Pay attention to your prayer life. Pray. Set out the time you pray daily. Sometimes in the week, you go out, take a day and go pray for some hours and get back. Sometimes in the whole month, half a day that you pray nothing less than 6 hours. Every member of our church does. They report to me. So I'm not telling you gimmicks. Every worker, there is a day they take at least 12 hours to wait on the Lord.
So you observe some people are active. You are wondering, what's power in them? The way strong Christians grow is the way strong Christians grow. Nothing different. If you do what makes Christians strong, you will be a strong Christian. Is it clear? Supernatural company. Keep a company of those who are on fire. People that inspire you to serve the Lord. I've always said, what is the proof of a strong company? Play for me, I close. So I can close rather. Are we together? What is the proof of a strong company? What is the proof of a godly relationship? A godly company. A sign of a godly company is three things. A godly relationship will tell you, come, let us know the Lord. Come, let us know the Lord. John 1:45. And Philip found Nathanael, said unto him, we have found Jesus. We have found the Christ. We have found the man. He says, whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Come. A godly company will always tell you, come, let us go to church. If somebody has invited you into this conference, despite your excuses of distance, despite your excuses of convenience, despite your excuses of finances, if somebody has compelled you and followed you up and helped you to be in this conference, nothing has to tell you. You don't need anybody to tell you that is a godly company. Those are the kind of people to hang around. Are we together? Because let me tell you, God works through godly companies. I've told you severally that 95% of what God does in the life of a man is through godly company. 95% of what Satan does in the life of a man is through ungodly companies. Is it clear, church? And also, come to look at it. In times, in life, many times, we experience seasons where we're weak or where we need help. The kind of company around you at that time will determine whether you fall away or become, you fall into chaos, become a victim of circumstance, or whether you will be held strong. Many times, as we go in life, we'll find ourselves in a similar scenario that Peter was found. Whereas we walk on the waters, we suddenly discover that we are sinking. We are drowning. Are we together? At that moment, there was a company like Jesus around. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. And then he came and pulled him out. Are we together? Two things. God intervened, but it was God in the flesh. God's intervention works through men. Many times, men that have the same mind, the same spirit, the same conviction as you. Look at it. Paul would have been killed in the book of Acts. He took the church, are we together, to bring him down to what? Basket for him to escape. Many times, that's what the supernatural, that's what the brethren does for us. They are around us as that supernatural provision of God to preserve the gift of God in us as we go through life. A godly company. They say, come, let us what? Know the Lord. Number two, a godly company will always say, come, let us enjoy the Lord. Are we together? Let us enjoy the Lord. Let us enjoy the Lord. That is, let us serve the Lord. Let us serve the Lord. Number one, come, let us know the Lord. They invite you to teaching services. Glory to God. They invite you for camp meetings. They invite you for conferences. They invite you for cell meetings. Come, let us know the Lord. Then come, let us serve the Lord. Let us enjoy His power. Let us enjoy His grace. Let us enjoy His Spirit. Let us serve the Lord. They invite you to prayer meetings. Hallelujah. They invite you to prayer meetings. They carry you on evangelism. Are we together? They invite you to prayer meetings. They invite you into meetings in the church where we are giving ourselves, are we together, to serve the Lord. Then number three, as I close, a godly company will say, come, let us show others the Lord. is a company that invites you on evangelism. They inspire you to use your resources to sponsor the work of soul winning. But not just your resources, but also your whole self. A godly company teaches you to use your body to serve the Lord. Your body, this physical body, where your brain is, to serve the Lord. This physical body, where your energy is, to serve the Lord. Your voice, to serve the Lord. Your mind, to serve the Lord. Your legs, to serve the Lord. As we go on evangelism, as we go and follow up, we check Christians in their rooms. How are you doing? When they are weak, we encourage them. When they are sick, we care for them. We check Christians. When they are strayed away far from the church, we bring them back into the church. And then we help them to grow. This is a good company. So ensure that you pay attention to evangelism and discipleship. Come together. And look at this. Give attention to your ministry. Give attention to your ministry. We have been told that this year is a season of pioneering for us. It's a moment of growth and increase. We said at the inception of this year that we're going to have more works. Are we together? You know, more works means more disciples. More work means more presence in more locations. More works mean more sick healed. More works mean more new believers strengthened. More people filled with the Holy Ghost. More work also means more cells. More work also means more disciples, more leaders, more ministers of the gospel. So what do I do? Number one, be that more. Be that more. Number two, contribute to how others becomes that more. Hallelujah. I trust God by the Spirit of God that we're having a stronger year ahead of us. And in 2025, we're going to have great harvests in all categories as we step out to act on the world, as we step out to work in our local church to strengthen and to support it, as we step out to get better in our prayer life such that God is able to depend on our prayer lives more, as we set out to work on our study and devotion to the Word of God, in paying attention to morning devotions, periods of personal retreats, as we step out to strengthen the local assembly, as we also step out, oh, by the Spirit of God, to keep supernatural company, in giving ourselves much more also to the ministry of soul winning and discipleship. I trust God that we have increase. God's hand in our hands this year, church. God's hand in our ears. We will find the supernatural working in our hands. That means nothing you touch this year will die. Your businesses will not die this year. I'm telling you that. Your families will not wither away. Oh, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I speak to you, I speak over you this morning. That which God has put in your heart to build, you have seen increase in it. In the natural, you have God's increase. In the spiritual, you have God's increase. The influence of God's Spirit through you knows no boundaries this year. In the name of Jesus. Your health is kept. Your health is kept. Spiritually, your health is kept. Ministerially, your health is kept. Bodily, your health is kept. Financially, your health is kept. God's eyes in your eyes this year. You will not see amiss. You will not be led astray. The strength of God's will fills your body. You will know no weakness. You will know no weakness. Spiritually, you know no weakness. Spiritually, you will know no weakness. Spiritually, you will know no weakness. You are always on fire. You have zeal. You have the joy of the Holy Ghost. You have direction by the Holy Ghost. You are strengthened by the Holy Ghost. The power of God is working in your life. The power of God is working in your life. The strength of God is working in your life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, I'm God's man. I'm anointed for excellence. So God's Spirit is working in me, leading me every day. The power of God walking in my life, walking in my body, all around me. I'm anointed. I'm full of grace. I'm full of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet this morning. Let's lift up our hands. Give God praise as we close this session. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. You're singing in that song. As we close this session. Over to God. Over to God. Over to God.